Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Advise Show Radio, the station that brings you intense discussions about the hottest topics. Make sure you join us by calling in at 347-996-3350. Now, here are your hosts, Gabriella and The Advise Show.
Well, what's going on, everybody? Once again, we got another show for you tonight, and the topic is, are our children safe in public schools? So we got Ms. Gabrielle on the line as well. What's going on, Ms. Gabrielle?
I'm good. Just got back home.
Just got back home, huh?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you got anything you want to say before we get started? Hey, you got somebody got me on the line. I'm getting feedback.
Oh, you know what? That was me.
Okay,
I apologize.
That's okay. All right, Ms. Gabrielle, you got anything to say before we get started?
Well, you can show your support by liking my fan page. It's facebook.com/GABRIELAXASARE, and that's my, well, pseudonym, so it's Gabriella Assayer, and that's my fan page. And you can also like the Gal VIP Magazine fan page, and you can find that on facebook.com/GALVIPMAG. So it's just Gal VIP Mag, and it's a magazine that I help promote. It's a magazine that promotes diversity as well as the Japanese subculture called Gyaru, and it's just a movement that's about self-expression and individuality. Yeah, so that's about it.
All right, well, and as always, you know, most of you, if you've never seen me before or any of my shows, we had just started doing the Ustream. We're trying to, you know, expand the radio show. We've been doing this on Blog Talk Radio just for a little while now, but we want to do a live show. So you can check me out as well at AdviseShow.com. You can check me out on my various new YouTube channels of the Advise Show TV, Advise Show Throwbacks. I'm doing a lot of segments now called Ask the Advise Show. It's doing pretty good. People send in their questions. I respond to them just as I can. If I can't respond to it, I just won't. I mean, some people send some outlandish stuff that I'm like, you know, you probably need to see a specialist because I'm not the guy to answer those questions. I have my other channel. Well, hold on, Ms. Gabrielle. We get it to you. Let me explain my support. Okay, anyway. Also, I got my fun channel I play around on, and it's not serious. Don't take it as serious. I do serious stuff on other channels. Ratchet Video Weekly. And what that channel is, I take videos that I find that, in my opinion, is funny, and it's clearly ratchet, and I just have fun with it once a week every Friday, so you can look forward to that. Now, Ms. Gabrielle, what were you saying just now?
I was asking about how you said people write questions to you, and you said that you would have to refer them to a specialist. Are those questions really that bad?
Well, I got one the other day, and I even shared it with my wife. And I said, this person wanted to ask me this stupid question, and you would not. I showed my coworker the question they asked me, and I just couldn't believe that. And I said, I don't know if to take this serious or to say it's a joke. I don't even know. But you know what they asked me?
What?
They tell me, you know, please help. And they tell me, you know, don't laugh at me, but I'm addicted to masturbation. That's what they said. So they say, it's so bad. No, this is what they said. It's so bad that I do it 5-6 times a day.
Wow.
And then my right arm is bigger than my left arm.
I'm like,
that's what my wife has said. So I think it's a joke. I say, you know what? I'm not going to respond to that because my coworkers are laughing. I was showing them. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what am I supposed to do about it? Like, my thing is, how do you work? 5-6 times a day, like, dude.
People that are addicted to it for real, like,
they do have people that is addicted to that. But I'm like, dude, I mean, it's nothing I could do for you. You need some heart tranquilizer or something to put you to sleep. Something, I don't know what to tell you.
That's a sexual addiction. It's an addiction.
Of course, it's an addiction. You know what I'm saying? But that person, I don't know. Like I said, they ain't my expert.
Like, you ain't a psychiatrist. So
no, I don't like psychiatrists. You need psychologists. That's what I believe. I believe in psychologists, not psychiatrists. You don't need to dope up nobody, make somebody a legal dope head. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Those drugs don't do anything for you. They actually make things worse. So
they enable you in a very bad way because I was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, and they put me on. I took several different antidepressants over the years, and it just, I was kind of wondering why I'd feel all right for a while, and then it would bottom out, and they would have to up the dosage, and then, you know, I would max out on one, and then he'd put me on the other, and then one day, honestly, I had a friend of mine who told me straight up, he said, you probably, maybe if you could just start dealing with the root cause of your issues, you might not need to take that crap.
Exactly.
And I did. And I literally went cold turkey. I had a extremely negative experience that's way too long to get into right now. But I and then it dawned on me, if this is what I'm doing when I think I know how to make proper decisions because I'm thinking that the meds are helping me out, I said, no, it's time to let that go. So I hear you. The meds don't help.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into the topic about our kids being safe in public schools. Now, did y'all hear about that recent story out of Spring, Texas? Did you hear anything about that?
Yeah, the stabbing.
Yeah, about the, they come out there with some knives and they just start stabbing people. One young brother got killed.
Yeah.
We hear a lot of incidents that go on in public schools. If it's not just the fighting, it's the bullying. It's the, you know, the teachers up there being pedophiles with the kids.
I actually found a story that I wanted to share, too, about the, there was a dress code in Arkansas that I wanted to share since it's about the teachers trying to entice the students. So.
Okay, well, share it, Ms. Gabrielle, you brought it up.
All right, okay. So there's a school in Little Rock, Arkansas, and let me read the headline. It said, Little Rock School District will now make teachers wear underwear.
Oh, yeah, I read that.
Underwear? Why do y'all care about them wearing underwear or not?
Let me tell you. It says, the school district in Little Rock, Arkansas, has announced plans for a dress code that will require teachers to wear underwear every single day. Female teachers will also have to wear bras, too.
What kind of nasty hoes they got going on that school? They're not wearing bras and underwear.
Trashy women
do stuff like that.
There's more though. It says so no see-through or sheer clothing will be allowed, and no skin shall be visible between pants and trousers, skirts and shirts and blouses at any time. Let's see, they can't wear any shirts that have alcohol, drugs, or gang references on it. The tattoos need to be covered up, and the worst of all says no spandex. So you're telling me that you actually have to remind teachers not to show their tattoos, to wear see-through clothes, or wear spandex pants to class?
You know where that comes from, though? That comes from years of them seeing all that. That's where it comes from. They don't come up with outlandish rules unless they've seen these teachers with all these outlandish tattoos. Maybe the chick was wearing a skirt with no underwear, and all the guys trying to drive the piece of paper on the floor so they can look. And go snap pictures and put it on Facebook. I know how teenage guys are. Okay, it's just been a lot of problems with that. That's why they had to come up with something that outlandish and that detailed. That way they cover all bases. I mean, whether it's your job or whatever, you notice that things happen and policies get changed after somebody messes it up. So that's really what come out of that. And that's sad. And my thing is like, they just need to stop hiring these little young teachers. That's not the ones that's doing all this stuff. You just need to hire a bunch of grandmas teaching. Because the grandmas ain't trying to worry about all that. You know, because I keep noticing all these stories of these women sleeping with these boys that's in these schools. They're 23, 26, 27. It's like I notice most of them are young.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, why are you going to throw away your whole career for some teenage kid?
And then you spend the rest of your life as a registered sex offender.
Yeah, exactly. And like my wife just told me, and the boys won't mess with no old grandma. They don't want to.
You'll be surprised, though. Because there was a long time ago.
That's right. They got guys that sit here and fool crackheads, so never mind.
One of my guy friends said a man will fool with anything with a heartbeat, so they don't care. Because I had seen a long time ago, there was a story about a young boy, and he was writing he was doing an interview and he was talking about how his teacher would take him home after school and he would go to her house and they would have sex and he would give her gifts or she would give him gifts and clothes and video games and whatever he wanted. So of course, I mean, he didn't think it was a problem at the time until much later in life he realized that it was wrong. But he was like, well, I mean, I was having the time of my life. I got sex and gifts and things. And even though the teacher wasn't, she was not attractive. She was an very overweight older woman. But he was like, I don't care. As long as I get that stuff, that matters.
That's sad. That's sad. Now this is the thing. Some of these kids carry on, like say with the situation like in Spring. Now what most people don't realize about that, who didn't know the backdrop of it, was those guys in some sort of gang affiliated stuff, and they just brought it all to school. Now I had saw a comment on my video I did about that, you know, just to talk about the show on YouTube, and the guy had said that they went to the school. I told them to, you know, I gave them the number, so why don't you call the show? But they were saying that they fight like that all the time. That's nothing new. Just somebody just got killed this time. And, like, why would you even send your kids to a school like that? I mean, it's like more and more parents that I'm finding out that in social media, they're really starting to lean heavily toward homeschooling.
I was going to homeschool my kids, too.
I mean, it's like, and if you can't home, this is my thing, what I'm starting to see, if you cannot homeschool them for whatever reason, you can't do it, then you need to move your kids to a real good school district that don't have none of that stuff. And, you know, I'm about to say something that some people may not like. Sorry, but I'm going to tell the truth. If you see too many Negroes and other minorities in one space, you better think twice. I'm sorry. It's the truth. I'm sorry. In this school, what was it? A bunch of minorities. Think about it. I mean, then if you move, then it's sad that we have to do good for ourselves and move away and move to predominantly white areas. And if you see minorities in the white areas, you know, that's your middle class, you know, decent people. Usually, you don't see nothing with their kids at all. And that's sad that we actually have to move away from our communities to actually go to decent schools. Because I've seen white people do that. They'll see stuff like that going on, and then what they'll do, they'll pack up and move. Every time I've seen them do it. Every single time. But you know what? Like the school district, you know, my kids are in, okay? They got opportunities out of this world. I mean, it trips me out the opportunities that they have. Like, for instance, like at my daughter's high school, right? They got a credit union in that school. And the kids can actually get a job through this credit union in the school. I mean, they got all kind of programs that we didn't have by graphic design and all this other stuff that we didn't have this stuff in school. We were lucky just to have, you know, PE. You know, and they can get college credits. You know, like some of these kids that take advantage of places like that. Like just one little girl did it, and she did so much college credit in high school that when she went to college, she started off as a junior.
Oh, you're talking about the sister who ended up at Spelman?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it was, I think it was that story. I saw that the other day. But this is my thing. They've got schools you can take advantage of that, but, you know, how could kids learn unless they're in a safe environment? And law enforcement and school administrators can't do it. They can't. So as parents, what should we do as parents? I mean, seriously. I mean, because at the end of the day, you know, some people probably get mad at the statement I made, but am I lying about that statement when it comes to too many minorities getting into some things that we don't like? Is that true or am I lying?
Unfortunately, it's true.
It's sad, though. It's very sad, but it is what it is.
Well, I'm going to say it like this. Because I have a 14-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
And when we first moved back down here, I have her in the neighborhood school because I didn't really know anything about the lay of the land when we got back. And so much has changed over the years since I've been gone. So, yeah, I had her in this neighborhood school. She was doing very well, so that wasn't the issue. But I had so many of her teachers tell me, oh, you know, your baby is so sweet. And she's so kind, and she's such a good student. And you need to get her out of this school.
See, there you go. If the teacher telling you get them out of that school, then what more I could tell you?
Absolutely. And that happened like 3 or 4 times. And, you know, after I had observed some things going on, I was like, no, you're not coming back here next year anyway. So that was pretty much a done deal. But for, you know, teachers and even the librarian to keep saying the same thing, I'm like, yeah, it's time to go. And it was unfortunate because, again, you hate it that it seems to be your people and mm-hmm. neighborhood schools. You hate that. On the flip side, as a parent, I'm not going to sacrifice my child on the altar of racial solidarity just so, you know, to make someone feel good.
Yeah, just so we can be Mr. or Miss Pro-Black. You know, at the end of the day, Pro-Black ain't taking care of my kids. If something happens to my kids, what are they going to do? They're going to bring them back? They're going to be at the hospital with them if something happens? Are they going to help them on the job because they don't have the proper education? I mean, that's really what it is at the end of the day. You know, yes, I love my people to death. Don't get me wrong. I love them to death. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to my children, my family, I'm going to do what I got to do. Now, when situations change, and if we get our act together, hey, I'm for it. But until then, I got to do whatever I got to do. Now, area code 909, you're on the show.
Yeah, this is Jonathan. I'm just saying about the public schools, if it's safe. It's like at my school where I go to, there's an off-duty police officer at my school, and he's armed. So if anything were to happen, he's there. So me, I feel safe. Like, it's whatever.
Okay, well, most schools these days, especially in Texas, have officers, correct?
Oh, I live in California.
Okay, you in Cali. In California, do most of them have... when I was in school, they had at least one cop in there. So I know over there the incident happened in spring, they had to have a police officer in that school somewhere because most all of them have a police officer in there. So, you know, what part of California are you from?
Southern. I'm from the suburbs, San Bernardino County. San Bernardino County, yeah.
Now, y'all have any issue with gangs and stuff like that out there in your school?
In my school, no. It's mostly a white area.
Okay, now let me ask you a question. You say you live in a white area. What's the difference living in the white area and the school you're going to versus living in the black area from your experience?
I was born in Inglewood, so I was born a nice part of Inglewood, and I went to a private school, so I didn't really see that much bad stuff going on there.
That's good. That's good. You went to a private school and they had you in a good situation because a lot of kids, you know, don't get to be in private school and go through good situations. You know, they have some public schools that are good, but you got to move to the right area for that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what I did. Yeah.
Yeah. So how old are you, bro?
I'm 16.
Oh, 16. All right. Well, so what grade are you in? 10th?
I'm in the 11th grade.
Oh, okay, so you were graduating, you're 17, huh?
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right, good deal. What you going to do when you graduate?
Go to school for business, like be a businessman, entrepreneur like Donald Trump.
Okay, and you're going to go to college for business. What kind of business are you going to go into?
Anything from banking to like real estate.
Banking and real estate. Okay, well, you need to choose something and then kind of be like an arrow, go toward that, because a lot of people do that. I'm going to go to college for business, but they get this business degree, and then they'll be like, okay, I got a business degree, but they don't know what to do with it because they didn't have a plan ahead of time what kind of business they wanted to go into. And that's great. Get your business degree and start your own business. But you got time to decide that. You know, do your research online and see what you want to do. You say you want to be a banker. It's great. We need more, you know, people to be bankers. Shoot, we need more bankers and we need rappers because these rappers can't even take care of their money.
Exactly.
We need some bankers.
See that rapper that went bankrupt? Well, actually, that's plenty of them.
I was about to say, which one?
Yeah, which one?
Yeah, because they go bankrupt or tricking or child support. That's where they go bankrupt and paying for the entourage.
True.
Well, all of them, athletes, all of them. But you know what? That's sad what I'm about to say. And this is the biggest downfall, at least to a lot of black male celebrities. they don't, you know, versus the white male athletes too. You notice most of them get married and they stick with their wife and they keep their money. You don't hear nothing about them. Brothers, we ain't getting married. We want to be out there tricking. We want to be throwing $8,000 in the strip club, getting drunk and everything. And then that's what we have, about 10, 12 baby mamas. And then all them chicks want child support. And then you got about, what, $5,000, $6,000 worth of payments of child support. And that's minimum. Some of them got more than that. And then they crying broke. Like, you know, like your Terrell Owens crying that he can't pay his child support when he was making $80 million a year. Like, that don't make no sense.
That's bad.
You have one kid, maybe two kids, being them kind of guys. Look, it's to your advantage to get yourself fixed. Because they gonna rape you, boy, with that child support.
Or at least you, I don't know what. At least you protection them. That's what. Well,
no, they need to get They need to get themselves fixed because
But what if you want to have kids later? Then
they have a reversal too.
That actually is kind of smart though. That's what I told one of my friends. I was like, if you ever make it big, get a vasectomy because.
You know, a lot of black men don't know how to keep themselves to themselves. Instead of just getting you one woman when you're broke, stay with her because you don't want a woman when you're trying to, when you got money, because you want all them fakes coming your way. You know what I'm saying? Get good when you're broke, you know, stick with her. That's it.
But they don't want that though. A lot of young
men. No, they
want
to be hoes.
They want to chase after the big booty chick with the long weave and everything else.
And these are of course the ones that don't, you know, just go after the white girls.
Man, brothers go after whatever. They go after whatever. It ain't just about, and you know what, mentioning there, you said white girls. I had a video I seen the other day, and I got to get into this video because this one black woman they interviewed saying, oh, white women taking all our men, and they taking out the bodies we have. And I say, oh, God, here we go again. I said, I'm going to have to do a video on that because there's no truth in that. There's no truth in none of that, what she's saying. By marriage statistics, there's no truth in that, just in society, what you see. But I'll do that in the video. But
what do you mean?
Yeah, it's the truth. There's no. Let me get this other call here. Hold on. Error code 704, you on the show.
Oh, I didn't realize I had dialed in.
What'd you say?
She said she
didn't
realize
she
dialed in.
I thought I had to press 1 to, like, say something. I thought I was just listening.
Oh, yeah. Well, they say 1 if you want to speak to the host. I think it's what it is. I think it's – I'm trying to remember exactly because I rarely call a whole lot of shows.
Right.
Okay,
and I know
but,
I just pressed 1, so that's why it caught me off guard.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you call in. I see you come across that switchboard. I'll be like, well, let's see who this is. Let's find out what's on their mind. So let me ask you a question. Well, where are you from?
I'm originally from St. Louis, but I live in Charlotte.
Okay, Charlotte. Oh, you in Miss Gabrielle, is she in your neck of the woods?
Charlotte is 3 hours away.
Okay. All right.
I'm in New York right now, though.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Good deal. So what you got? What you think about these kids? You know, are they safe in public schools? I mean, dealing with everything, the violence, the pedophile teachers, the drugs, everything. What's your opinion on that?
Right. Do I think that they're safe in public schools? Yes, I do, because the reality is that, like, these little instances of somebody bringing a knife to school or somebody bringing a gun to school, there's more instances where people have a normal day at school than those occurrences when violence is happening. So I think the vast majority of students are still safe, but it is concerning when all these other things happen. They're put in the forefront. Like, we hear about them more. So it's almost like when you hear about a plane crash. Like, most planes aren't crashing, but when you hear about a plane crash, it makes us scared. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, a plane falling out of the sky is almost like an anomaly, literally, because I'm going to tell you what, you fly Southwest Airlines, them guys fly like 30 times a day. I say, I feel safe riding on Southwest because, you know, everybody want to fly them or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, it's more car. Actually, it's safer to be on an airplane than it is being in a car. It really is.
Right.
Because there's more car crashes happen than airplanes falling out of the sky. But, you know, this is the thing. I notice more parents are moving toward homeschooling and private schools. for their kids because they're not liking the education level they're getting in school because of the fashion show that goes on and all of the stupidity of the, you know, the cell phone has really changed schools. I mean, everybody in school want to film everything that's going on, post it all over the place. I mean, it's turned school into something it never was, at least when I was in school. So on the trend of the homeschooling and private school, you know, do you have children?
I do not have any kids.
Yeah, okay, if you had kids, okay, would you consider private school or homeschooling?
I would not consider homeschooling because I personally would not want to be there all day teaching the kids. But I would consider.
Well, no, she need to be honest. I mean, she need to be honest because I wouldn't do the homeschool either because I'm like, I ain't got that kind of time. But I'll put you in a good school district. That's what I'll do.
Right. I just know I wouldn't be the best teacher for the kids, so I wouldn't. I don't feel like that would be fair to them because I wouldn't want to be there all day. But I would probably, if I had the money, I would look into private school just because I can more so, I think I would be able to get my hands around the curriculum and have the flexibility to tailor it for my child, whereas in a public school, it's kind of like a one-size-fits-all. No matter how you learn or what your strengths are, you really need to fit in the box of their standardized testing or whatever their metrics for grades are and really determining how the kids are learning. Whatever school you're in, your kids have to fit into that mold. So all kids learn differently, you know, and it's really not cool to be, it's not really cool to be smart right now. So the kids, I can't imagine.
Okay, you say, hold on, you say it's not cool to be smart right now. Who set that trend? Who made up that rule?
I'm not saying I agree with it. I'm just saying. Well,
No. I'm not saying you agree with it. I'm saying who made up that rule? Like where does that come
from? I mean, if you look at pop culture, nobody's really. People talking about twerking. They're not talking about reading. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not really the mass trend to be educated. It's not. That's not the trend right now for these kids. And so they're immature minds, so they don't really have the discernment to be like, oh, well, you know what, I know everybody's twerking right now, but let me crack open this book or let me go to the library. Those aren't really things that a normal kid is doing without some kind of guidance or a parent or adult.
Yeah, parental involvement,
Hey, you know, and especially in the black community, you know, at least I can't speak for other communities, but in the black community, if you're a bookworm or you some sort of smart guy or smart lady, I mean, you looked at as like the strangest thing on the planet Earth.
They'll make fun of you.
They call you white. They say you think like you're white and all this other stuff. And like, that's stupid. Like, so reading and education is white and being ignorant is black. And I say, you know what? Well, sign me up for the team white. I'll join white folks. I ain't trying to be dumb. Well, y'all so pro-black and dumb. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how many times have you heard black folks say that? Oh, you're trying to act like you're white. Like, doing what? Reading?
Right.
Speaking proper English?
Well, let me tell you. I mean, you had asked when did that start, and, you know, I might be telling on my age here a little bit, but I know when I was in high school, that was all I got. And I was in a college preparatory program, and I was still being teased by my black classmates because I did my work. I didn't give the teachers any issue. I was a respectful student because, you know, my mama told me straight up, you're not going to be anywhere out in the world misrepresenting me. So I just knew to behave myself. But here I am in this environment where, you know, you've got this small section of the student population who has taken college prep classes. And even in that, you still had your contingent of knuckleheads who are like, oh, you know, I have one boy tell me in class one day, where are you from, Ireland? When are you going to start talking black? I'm like, well, what do you mean because I'm black? Which would mean if I'm talking right now, I'm talking black. What the hell are you talking about?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, but because I wasn't using a lot of slang and I didn't, you know, sound like I walked in from the cotton fields, it was some sort of problem.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. I mean, like I said, I don't start talking about like things like investments and talking about what you're going to do about buying property and all this other stuff. I mean, I've been told this before, and we had this discussion at work, me and another brother. I've been told that, you know, you think like a white man. Like, why? Because I think
so you don't go and take your paycheck and live from hand to mouth, as my dad calls it. or as soon as you get money, you spend it all, like, right there.
Yeah, tricking off your money. I mean, that's being black. I'm like, sure, I can get money and trick it off. I can get money and go buy expensive cars, but for what?
Mm-hmm. I have friends that criticize me for that, too.
I never forget this.
You supposedly have all this money, and you're supposed to be making money. Why don't you go and... Why don't I see you wearing designer this and designer that? Why are you driving that old car? This, this, and that. I'm like, I could easily, if I wanted to, I could take my all the money that I have and waste it on stupid stuff. But what is that going to get me?
Nowhere. You're going to have a bunch of nice clothes, and you're going to be broke. And who are you impressing? Nobody. You're not really impressing nobody. Mm-hmm. You know, they like say, we focus so much of our attention on things that do not matter, like mm-hmm. clothes. Shoes, a car. Like, that's, man, it's more to life than how you look. I mean,
yeah, that's,
seriously.
That's a byproduct of living in America, because, I mean, America.
No, that's not America. It's how, it's you as an individual. Because now everybody in America thinks like that.
It's all about how it looks. It's all about how you look. It's not about the substance of an individual. It's about how he presents himself to the world. So as long as he looks good or she looks good and smells nice and is driving an expensive car, it doesn't matter what kind of person he or she might be. It's all about the presentation. That's what gets so many people caught up.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely gets people caught up. But, you know, this is the thing. You know, I'd rather, you know, build myself where I can sustain what I have. And I ain't gonna lie, like, some of the best game I ever gotten about money and how to move it certain ways was being like older white men on the jobs. I mean, they peeped me to so much game. And mm-hmm. it's sad that, you know, brothers don't can't peep you to that kind of game because they don't know nothing about it.
Some people don't have access to success and, like, what does real success mean, whether it's a black person, white people. A lot of people don't get to see that in real life, so they look to pop culture and music and TV, and that's what those people are talking about. They're talking about material wealth, and for them that means power because they had the money to purchase those things. So I just
I got to stop you.
But education is free, though. That's
black people have a lot of money. Don't ever let that fool you that black people don't have no money.
I'm not saying that black people don't have money. I'm saying that there are situations where people they grow up in a household where nobody ever goes and comes from work every day. You know, the people that they look up to, their parents, they're waiting on a check the first of the month. So I'm not saying that it's impossible. I'm just saying that some people, and I know this from firsthand experience, some people have to seek that there's a different kind of life because the situation that they was born into, brought up into, they don't see nobody going to work every day. They don't see nobody going to school. They don't see people having a career, and that definitely happens. So for me, my role model was Claire Huxtable. You know, I wanted to be professional like her, you know, but mm-hmm. I didn't have nobody. You know, I have a degree and I have a successful career, but I'm the first to do what it is that I'm doing. So I know that it's possible, but it took a lot of tenacity on my part and it took a lot of drive on my part. And I was blessed a lot, too. I'm just saying that not everybody has those blessings in their life. You know, some people don't see nobody going to work.
But the thing is,
you have to strive for better, though, because my stepdad came from Africa, and he only had but two shirts, some raggedy shoes. His mother couldn't read or speak English. His father left, and they were just living in some hut somewhere, and he had to study by candlelight. So he went from that to... You know, he put himself through school, and he ended up going from Africa to England and from England to America, and now he's making $250,000 a year. So just because you don't have role models outside, I mean, sometimes I feel like when people say, oh, well, my dad didn't do this and my mom didn't do that, sometimes I'm just like, well, you have to strive for better. And just because your friends might laugh at you and just because there's outside influences that are trying to tear you down, if you want a better life, you have to strive for it yourself.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. I'm just saying that for some people, that's easier said than done. Some people have it in them where they have that drive and they'll seek out those resources and they'll develop those relationships, and then some people don't.
Well, my thing, I always said that, you know what, you know, the way I grew up, you know, I grew up in the black community. I seen, you know, the good and the bad. And I say, you know what, I don't want this kind of life. I want something good. I want to get away from Port Arthur. I want to make something of myself one day. And I said, with the help of the Lord, I will. You know what I'm saying? But you got to have that in your head. That's what you want to do. And it's not about education all the time. It's about really hard work, determination, and having, you know, the want to do something also. Because, you know, it does get to a point that you can't worry about. You say, oh, well, I, 5 generations of my family are welfare recipients. That means, I guess that's going to be me too. Like, I'm sorry. Somebody got to turn it around somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
Then people like that get mad and they want to blame the world why they don't have nothing. And they got this, the world owe me something attitude. And,
I think
you have
to be strong because even after you make it, it's still not an equal playing field. Even at work, you know, even when you get to the corporate level, even when you get to the vice president level, it's still never an equal playing field. So they have to be strong people in general to be able to outlast what's going to continue to be an issue. Do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't get easier.
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. You're basically talking about that walk of the black man and black woman in America. I get it, and it's something we just got to deal with here, you know, in this land. But it's still not going to stop me.
And some people are built for it, and some people, they don't.
This is my attitude. If my grandmothers and grandfathers survived slavery, surely I can survive this.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right. I think you have a strong will. I'm just saying that some people want it, but they don't necessarily have. They just need that example or they need that coaching. And
yeah, some people. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Some people need a leader almost to look up to, and then some people can say, "I don't need nobody. I can just do things on my own." And
right.
You know, we have all kind of people in the world. I get that. But like I said, I thank God at least I don't need a leader. I can do my own thing, you know.
Right.
I'm happy about that. But unfortunately, some people.
That's the problem. There's too many followers out here following the wrong thing. If we have
they follow the wrong thing.
Leaders.
Like Vince, you were talking about twerking earlier. You know, black women started that. Not all the women want to do it now. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, dog. Like, can't y'all innovate something that's positive? You know what I'm saying? Not like I was saying in one of my videos when I was joking around. I say everybody twerking, you putting strippers, you know, out of work. They got to eat. They can all eat work from them, all that twerking. Like, why the dude need to go to a strip club for? He can just cut on YouTube. He ain't got to pay no money.
Well,
these girls doing this mess for free, too.
Yeah, they doing it for free.
They're doing it for some Twitter followers or some Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook likes and comments. Girl, you fine. Girl, you this, you that. Like, really?
That's why I thought that whole outrage over Miley Cyrus to me was just a little hypocritical because I'm like, how are you going to talk about her for exploiting black females? And here you are.
Who was outraged?
There were a lot of so-called black folks saying that they were upset because they were calling the Miley Cyrus's performance. I don't know if you heard.
I heard and I joked about it.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to
take
it nothing serious, but this is the thing. Actually, black folks wasn't really outraged. They were just kind of like, wow, really? But more so, the white community and the media was outraged at her because she was doing something that Negro women like to do.
Well, I mean,
and they didn't like that.
I mean, just in the particular circle of folks that I talked with, some of them were talking about the it was racist and all of that. And I'm like, but okay, to me that seemed a little hypocritical because where you can't sit up here and have a problem with her for exploiting black females, and here you are as black females also exploiting a sexual stereotype, and then you want to get mad when everyone wants to look at black females and call us all whores. You don't get the cherry pick like that.
No, you don't. And like I say, if they were worried more about getting their education instead of worrying about getting likes on Facebook and Instagram followers by their pictures, they'd be all right. Seriously, they'd be all right.
Yeah.
You know, but they don't want to focus on that. And like I said, don't even talk about the dating thing. Like I said, let a brother, you know, be educated, you know, have something going for himself. Oh, he lame. You know, but the moment he get him a chick that's not black, he'll sell out. Oh, you'll sell out. Yeah, and I'm like, but none of y'all wanted the dude though. What you expect him to be like a hermit and stay by itself?
But I think in all fairness, like, okay, so when we were younger, we had people that could steer us in the right direction, right? So like our moms weren't twerky. These kids, their moms are twerking.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they don't have, it's not an equal fair playing field in life to compare how we grew up to their, how they grew up. Because how they growing up is totally wild, wild west compared to the guidance that we probably
had. Our parents at least told us that there was a standard for behavior. You know, this is the line and you better not cross it. So,
right.
You know, we knew better. There are just certain
things that we knew not to do,
but if you and your mama listening to the same music and going to the same clubs and doing the same dances, I mean, what can
you know, that's sad. You know, what you're talking about right there is sad, and it's too much of that. You got, you know, grown mama teaching their daughters to go to these clubs and, you know, to be twerking and all this other stuff. It's like, why don't you encouraging your daughter to make something of herself? Why?
Like, because why no you one teaching encouraged her, the mama.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, you ain't teaching her anything. It's like, it's, you know, your mama should be saying, hey, I want you to be better than me. You know, I want you to get your education. I want you to get a career. I want you to be worth something. You know, I may have been on Section 8 and welfare, but I don't want you to be. You know what I'm saying? And that's sad when you see that. The daughter growing up being a hood rat, too, because that's all she was taught to be. No father, same thing. And, you know, women having these, especially not the black community, 3/4 of our women are having babies, and that's just what the numbers are stating. And you think they're really getting further educated? You know, now some of them do. Now, I ain't going to lie. I've seen a lot of sisters get the education. Some of them make something out of themselves. I do see that. But they make something out of themselves at the wrong time. They get an epiphany after they have a couple of kids. Why can't you get that epiphany way before you have one?
They'll be 30 before they figure it out. And it's like, after that, they already got 3 kids anyway.
Yeah, and that's sad. Give me a second here, so let's see if I can get this other call on here. Eric Cole 617, you on the show?
Hi.
Hi, how you doing?
It's Vanessa.
What's going on, Vanessa?
I was just commenting on the topic, and you were talking about twerking, and how like it seems like it's something that's being passed on. Like just recently, there was like a scholarship grant from a rapper.
Oh Juicy J
scholarship.
Yeah, they asked me to do a video on that. But I just didn't. But basically, what it was, like I said, he was given a scholarship for who could twerk the best, $50,000. Like, wait a minute, how in the world you gonna sit there and twerk for $50,000 scholarship? Most chicks are twerking, it's not thinking about college. So why are you even offer that to that female? Like, seriously. And if she's the best twerker, judging by those guys, well, obviously she's been twerking for a while, and I don't see chicks, you know, twerking with a 4.0 GPA in college. I mean, just really the twerk queen. I just really don't see it.
Yeah.
But I might give that scholarship to somebody who really, really needs it. Like somebody who says, all right. Because I actually have went through some of the videos. One of my friends was watching the videos. We were just like, okay, let's go see what this is about. There was this one girl that said, you know what, I was going to twerk, but I thought about it, and I was like, I'm worth more than this. And I'm not going to – and she, like, explained, like, how she had a 4.0, and she just wanted to go to school, and she wanted to do this and do that. But she only got like 100 views, and nobody, and people were giving her thumbs down and everything else. Because she was like, I'm not going to shake
But this is the thing. This is a lot of times these women don't realize. When a guy gets to a point that he wants to settle down, he wants to get married, he wants a chick that's not the twerk queen. I'd rather, you get a chick to say, okay, she got her, you know, the career, she got whatever her training, whatever she may have. Not everybody may not have a degree, but they may have certifications, they may have whatever. But at least they have something going on for their life. I'm like, I'm sorry, you don't want to, you know, that kind of chick. I mean, what man does?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, then at the end of the day, you see these chicks, old, busted, and discussed it. Nobody wanted.
No, but
if I was to play devil's advocate and talk about twerking, like, okay, so you go to school and you get all this debt, or you could twerk and make some money right now, make $50,000. Like, I don't know. I went to school, and I got about $5,000 more until I'm done. But, you know, if you had to pick between the two, twerk and get $50,000, or go to school for 4 years and come out with $50,000 worth of debt, which one are you going to choose?
I'd rather have my dignity and self-respect and go get my education and pay my stuff off like everybody else do. Yeah, I'm not going to disrespect myself for no $50,000 for education. I'm sorry.
Because you know how embarrassing? Because you would have to really do something real nasty and real ratchet to be able to get the $50,000.
You know that. That kind of crowd.
Naked. You would literally have to be, because I had seen some of those videos, girls in their underwear, girls with a daggone. This one girl had like one of those bikinis that was just like literally one piece of string, just enough to cover your nipples and just enough to cover like a little bit of your private area. You're almost completely naked.
Okay. But what does that matter to somebody who didn't have any self-respect in the first place? What does that matter?
Well, give me a second, guys. Erico 509, you on the show.
Hey, it's Laura from Spokane.
Hey, Miss Laura, you get in your car, huh?
I am. I had to take a break. I'm at a theme park with my daughter and her friends, and I'm old. I can't do roller coasters anymore. They make me sick.
I don't even fool with them roller coasters too much. My wife, she's a roller coaster queen. Me, I'm like, nah, y'all can have it. I ain't fooling with them things.
Oh,
too many people falling out of them things.
No.
Too many people falling
out
of
them. I mean, that's okay.
My luck, I fall
out. You hear about it every now and then. I don't worry about that. They just make me nauseous. I just can't do it. I don't know. I guess I just. I used to be able to do them, but anyway. So yeah, I'm taking a break. I told you I call in. So
yeah.
So here I am.
So let me ask you a question. What's your opinion on about the kids being safe in public schools? You think they are?
Well, no, absolutely not, because it all starts with parenting, and there is a lack of good parenting, a major lack of good parenting. And unfortunately, my daughter goes to public school, but if I could afford to send her to private school, I would, not because I think people with money are better, but because I feel like children in private schools are safer because they're in a different class. I mean, that's just a sad truth. But no, children aren't safe in public schools anymore. And public schools even with my daughter's school, they have an attitude of it can't happen to me. You know, things happen and they don't take things as serious as they should. So
you're right about that. But this is the thing. You know, it's like, would you ever, let me ask you a question, would homeschooling be on your, would you ever consider that?
Yes, if I had the ability, if I had the education to homeschool, and I had the means to provide for my family without working, and I could homeschool, then absolutely I would, absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of people. I've been hearing a lot of people doing that. You know, like as
it
comes about.
My best friend is gonna start doing it. Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think if you can't move to an area where you know. It's not just a good district, because, I mean, they have some great school districts out here to give a lot of advantages to the kids. They really do, and they are public schools. And you have to move away to those areas to get that. But, you know, I've seen, like, what's that news story I saw? I put up on my website, actually, about that young man that graduated college at 17 with a bachelor's degree in, was it microbiology or whatever? His mom homeschooled him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you talking about the one who graduated from Sutton? Because there have been so many stories lately of, young black kids just graduating college or entering college so young. Are you talking about that young brother that came out of Southern University?
I think it was in Florida. I put it on my website. I think it was in Florida that happened. But the thing is, he was homeschooled.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I'm noticing a lot of the kids that's being homeschooled, I'm noticing they're achieving education at a higher level, much faster than the kids in a lot of these public schools.
And they're not being exposed.
Young girls.
A
young girl who entered college in Illinois, I think she's going to the University of Illinois.
Oh, really?
And her mama. Yeah. Her parents homeschooled her, and then there's an 11-year-old boy going to Texas Christian University right now.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Homeschooled. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I heard about that story about that 11-year-old boy at the end of that college. That's right. You know, but back, like I said, all these homeschooling. You know, and I had some people that I went to school with, and I say, hey, what school you was going to before? So I was being homeschooled, but, you know, we had to move. And then they didn't stay at the school like so many months, but they said, nah, I got to leave because my mom wants to homeschool me again. She don't like this, you know. And they just don't like, you know, the educational structure that they're giving in the public school districts today. And then, you know, on top of that, you got the education, you got the bullying that goes on, and you know, that makes it worse than it was back when I was in school. At least in school, when I was in school, if somebody beat you up, the people at the school just knew about it. Unless they told somebody at another school you got beat up. Nah, you get beat up. Everybody in the whole world know you got beat up. Everybody. You know what I'm saying?
And they got people that'll cyber-stalk you and do all kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, I mean, that sucks. Yeah. You know, that somebody...
catfishing people. Like, there are so many things that people can do with the internet these days.
In school.
There was a girl that I went to summer camp with, and I had found out that she died. Her name was Megan Meyer, and she was being cyber-bullied at school. She ended up committing suicide because what happened was that there was a guy, or there was some girl or somebody who was pretending that it was some boy, and she was pretending to be this girl's boyfriend over the internet. And she had fallen in love. She was really young, so, you know, she was probably like 13, 14. I can't remember. She was really young when she died. And she had fallen in love for this person, and then she found out that it was all fake, and she was just, and then after being bullied and picked on in school, she just was like, I had enough, and she just killed herself.
Wow. Wow.
And they couldn't, I mean, that's not something that would have happened 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah, shit. Ain't got to be 20, 30 years ago. Shoot, I was in school. Like, so I graduated school in 97. I mean, shoot, so it ain't been 20, 30 years ago. It's not just that long ago. Well, nah.
They didn't have Facebook back then, though.
No, we had no Facebook back then, so we had dial-up back then.
All this goes back to the lack of parenting, though. Because why was a 13-year-old girl having a relationship with a boy on the internet anyway without her mother knowing? And why would a 13-year-old girl feel the need to kill herself over not having the love of a man? She should have enough love from her parents. I mean, I don't understand. It all goes back to lack of parenting for me. I don't know. People need to get together with the kids.
Yeah,
and homeschoolers do better. Children who get homeschooled do better because they are one-on-one. They get a lot of one-on-one attention. You know what I mean? They don't get that. You know, teachers are, you know, understaffed and underpaid as it is. And that's another problem. If we paid teachers more, you know, teachers should be paid a lot more than they are.
They should.
And the hiring process for teachers needs to be a little more in-depth than just a degree, because there are a lot of shitty teachers out there, too. Excuse my language. And there are a lot of good teachers, but there are a lot of teachers out there that are not good teachers. Shouldn't be.
Yeah, they don't care. They just there to collect the paycheck.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and the parent and the teacher should be working together, but, like, people expect these teachers to raise these kids. That's not their job. Their job is to teach the kids and not give them morals. When you send them to school and you didn't give them no home training, of course they're going to get to school as well.
Yeah, it's sad. I mean, I have had to explain things to my daughter at 10 years old that I should not have to explain to her yet, because other kids bring it to school and what they're learning at home, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, it is. In this situation, you know, like, I don't see it getting better at all. I don't see it. I mean, I don't see the teachers improving. I don't see the situation with the kids improving. I mean, it's getting worse and worse every year.
It's getting worse. Yeah, there's a lack of God in our country. There's a lack of Christianity and community and
that's definitely lack of Christianity.
And you notice that when they kick God out of everything, you notice that our society has just been going down and down.
Yeah. Well, because it's the truth is, I don't know how people believe and write about now what I'm about to say. I don't care. But the fact is, when you kick the Lord out of school, that's when all this stuff start happening. Period.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And now in California, like, I could not believe this when I heard out of California talking about in January, transgender students could choose every bathroom they want to go to. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Really? That's what you're worried about?
Yeah.
No, a bathroom? Why don't you worry about educating
that's
these
the
kids?
That's the problem.
You worry about stuff like
they
that.
They're worried about being sued. They just worried about being sued. They're not worried about those transgender kids. They just don't want a liability on their hands for being sued because a transgender kid got pissed off because they couldn't use whatever bathroom they wanted to. They don't care about
the
those
government.
Kids.
The
right.
Government.
They don't.
But you know that's that's California for you. You know the most liberal state in the union. You know. You know. You know how that goes.
Yeah,
but they also have the highest welfare too. So.
Yeah, they do. They got. That's true. It came out that they have the most people on welfare in California. But that state is hard to live in too, though. It's not one of the easiest states to live in.
State
yeah, but
living.
I know somebody who was collecting welfare in SSI, and it was an old boy. It was an ex friend. And she sat there, and she was the Social Security was good enough to the point where her husband could leave work, and they just sit in the house and play video games and watch TV all day, and they're going to get
that's
it for
ridiculous.
The next 15 years. So
that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. You know, that's all they want to focus their attention on.
I think the schools are just like a microcosm of what's going on. Like, if you think about how adults conduct themselves, like even on YouTube, let's say on YouTube with those crazy comments, you know, I'm sure you get, or the back and forth that happens, those are from adults. So those are the
I definitely get crazy comments, so I know that.
Right. So those are the parents of the
kids. Yeah, I've seen your comments.
Of course they're going to act like that at school because look how the parents are acting.
That's my point. It all starts, everything starts with parents.
Like I did a video long while ago about a little girl cussing. And I was saying, you know, why are you letting these kids cuss? And people came at me saying, there's nothing wrong with kids cussing. It's just words. I say, why you figure? It's just words. You shouldn't be letting kids talk like that. But in this day and time, you got little 5-6-year-old kids cussing people out. Man, back when I was growing up, you get knocked a fire out of you, or you get your mouth washed out with some soap. Matter of fact, I got my mouth washed out with
we
soap.
We got mouth washed out with soap, too.
With that zest.
No, it was more than one.
I never forget it. I never forget it.
I can tell you what every single soap tastes like. That's how many times my
I know what zest tastes like. I guarantee you, if somebody do that today to their kid, guess where they're going to be? They're going to be
in jail.
They'll say that's child for attempted murder.
Nothing
or
with their
like
kids
that.
No more. The kids can just run your house. Mm-hmm. And if they get to the point they're going to run my house, they got to get out. Because I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Nobody, you don't pay bills here.
Yeah.
Mm. I gotta
and, you know what's sad is they call that old school. How is that old school? You are not my peer. You are a child. You dictate nothing. You don't tell me how to run nothing.
Exactly. but you can't say certain things. You can say what you want, but you can't. You better not put your hands on them. Cause back in the day, I got hit with everything. Now that's child abuse. Oh. The video I put up about the dad, like my little commentary about the dad whipping the daughters with the twerking, I say his method was wrong. I say for what he did, I say the method was wrong. I said, but the reasoning he did it, I'm for it. Now, some people like that.
Okay.
A lot of people came at me talking about that's child abuse because I say that it happened to me. They'll say, well, just because you were abused, I mean, somebody else got to be abused. Say, so you know what? When somebody was getting so-called abused, people was getting their education. You are staying out of trouble.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what it was. Yeah, but no, yeah. now
I wasn't even mad at him because it's like you don't want your daughters to grow up to be prostitutes or believe that the only way they can get ahead is by using their bodies and not their minds. So I wasn't even mad at him. I was like the only thing I would have done differently, I would have turned that video camera off.
Well, he didn't know it was
on. Yeah, that was dumb.
He knew it was on.
Okay.
But they was recording stuff on Facebook when he walked in there.
Yeah, and
but also too, he caught a twerk video they made too. So it was like all wrapped up in one. He saw the twerk video and then they snuck out the house. So it's two things they done. That's why he was so fired up. So I get why he was so angry because he like you left the house. I didn't know where you was at and you twerking too. Oh man, I know why he did.
And wasn't it that girl's mama that turned him into the cop?
It was that old mama turned him in and got that brother put in jail. That brother saved his daughter's life, and you gonna get him put in jail? I said, that's why I can't. I'll tell you what, my baby mama would do the same thing to me. That's why I don't even touch mine. I don't do nothing to them. I don't work. That
but
woman
like you said, there's a time and place, so you can't beat your kids when you're angry.
Right.
No,
you,
no, not when you're angry.
You
no, no. You can't do it when you're angry.
You gotta,
I get that.
He was angry.
You need to cool off.
He needed to take
you do
a minute.
Need to cool off.
And I feel it. My daughter get her ass whooped, too. I don't believe in extension cords. I know a lot of people say.
No,
oh,
no, I would never hit no kid with the extension cord. The bill.
I just don't. I don't go for that. And
right.
I got
I got a flipper throwing at me a few times, a switch. But what's just tripped me out?
Yeah.
They tell you pick your switch off the tree. That was it. Because
I can't think.
Mm-hmm. If I get one too big, it's going to hurt. If I get one too small, they're going to say, they're going to go pick one. They're going to pick the worst one to get. So I'm like, dog, man. That's a psychological thing for a child to pick your pain.
Yeah, I did. I got a question for you.
Okay, give me a second. What'd you say, Laura?
I got a question for you, though.
Sure.
And I see it a lot in the black community.
Uh-huh.
Why, and I see it in white community too, but I see it a lot in the black community. Why, as parents, do we say, "Do as I say, not as I do"? Why are we saying,
"Because I'm gonna tell you why"? Number one, we dumb as hell because people do what you do, not what you say. That's number one.
Right.
Number three, I'm gonna say they don't want accountability of their actions. That's why they say, "Well, do as I say, not as I do."
Because I
was type of kid. Don't tell me something that you're not doing. I would call your hand on it, and I used to get hit for
exactly.
it all the time.
I used to get in trouble.
I'm still like that to this day. Don't tell
that.
Me smoking is wrong. Well, I don't smoke, but smoking is wrong, and you doing it. Like, I'm
exactly.
like, you doing that? Why are you telling me?
Exactly. I'm just saying, if I'm a stripper, and I'm up on a pole shaking my ass for dollar bills all night, and my daughter
yeah.
knows it, but I'm telling her, you're never going to do this. You're never going to do this. And she grows up and does it. What did I think she was going to do? I mean, honestly, what are these parents thinking? I don't, and I'm not trying to be judgmental.
That was my point earlier.
This is not being judged, man. I hate when people say that.
Example.
I hate when people
say
that, like, don't judge me. Like, I ain't God. I ain't putting you in heaven or hell.
But, you know, I know. But you know, I try to be, you know what I mean? Because I understand people come from some terrible abuse in their life. Most
yeah, they do.
Most women who are strippers and who sell themselves like that, they have been through some major catastrophe.
Most of them have been molested. Most of them have been either raped or molested.
Exactly. Yes. And I don't know what that's. I've never been through that. So my heart breaks. I mean, I can only think of one reason why I would ever kill another human being, and it would be for touching my daughter. That's the only. And
yeah. Well, yeah. I agree with you on that. Give me a second, real quick, Laura. Area code 508. You on the show? 508 area code. I guess I don't know. Well, anyway, they're chiming in. I guess and they realize we're talking. This is the situation. You know, it's like when a man is separated from his kids, and sometimes that woman is not on the up and up. As a man, you worry about, okay, what kind of man that woman is going to bring around my children. This is a concern
yeah,
that
exactly.
men have all the time. Because God forbid that your child comes to you one day and tell you one of her little boyfriends did something, and then you're going to be on a search and destroy mission, like
mm-hmm.
where he
yep.
at. And then you're going to end up in jail somewhere. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, it's sad. Like, I went through a drama yesterday. Oh, Lord. Let me tell y'all what happened. Speaking of that, I got at the gym, and I had like about 4 missed calls on my phone. It was my sister, and I was like, oh, shoot, what's going on? Because she called, you know, somebody call you, like, back to back, something wrong? And
Yeah,
so I called and say, what's going on? And say, hey, you know, old girl called me telling me that, you know, my son was in the hospital. I said, the hospital? And she needed the birthday for the insurance. I said, oh, well, what happened? You know, I'm like, she's like, I don't know. So I hit her up, you know, and I say, hey, you know, what happened? What hospital is he in? That's what I texted her real quick when I was talking to my sister, right? So she says nothing. Nothing back at all other than just call that number for the insurance. So now imagine that. You find out your child is in a hospital, and yet the other parent won't tell you why. So me and my wife jump in the car. We go down there. to where he was at the hospital, he was gone already. I had to go find out that my son had strep throat. Okay? She did not call me when she left. She didn't say nothing. Say, hey, he has strep throat. They gave him medication, you know, just to get rid of it. None of that. Then I hear from her again. She says, oh, she needs the insurance information again at the prescription, Walgreens. Okay? Still didn't tell me what was the problem, what was going on. I mean, it's like, how would you feel if you was in that position? You got your child, but yet they not telling nothing. The only reason I found out is because I went up there and they told me because I'm his father what was the problem was going on.
That's not right.
It's not right. Legally, it's not right because I have every right to know what's going on with his health, number one, legally, and education. And number two, you know, this is the type of crazy female that, you know, unfortunately is his mother, you know? And I worry about him in all aspects. You know, I really do. So even with, you know, he does good in school or whatever. But I you know, me and my wife discussed it and everything. And, oh, yeah, you better believe it's going to be a custody battle coming. It's just a matter of time.
I was going to say, you just need to go to court. You need to take all this to a lawyer.
Yeah, a custody battle is coming. Because that's not good for his
health. What made you want to have a baby by her if she was so crazy?
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Back when I had a child with her, when I was married to her at least, she wasn't like she is now. I'm going to say toward the end of the whole thing, maybe the last year and a half or so, because like 2 years prior to me leaving, I almost left that like 2 years prior, but that was after he was born. And I'd say, well, I tried to chance or whatever, right? So
mm-hmm.
She's got progressively worse. You know, there's a lot of things she did I just want to go into in this show, but I had to go ahead and go. Now, yes, every day, I ain't going to lie. I'd be praying to God, asking God to forgive me for having a child with her. Oh, trust me, I do.
Why did your relationship end, advice, if you don't mind me asking? Why did you divorce? Why did you leave her?
You want me to be, I'll be straight up on this. She was just being a whore. That's about it.
She was being a whore.
And she got her just due for it too. I must leave it at that. She got her just due.
No.
So,
and the only reason
she must have caught a sexually transmitted disease.
A lot of women are real bitter, and especially when they didn't want the relationship to be over. But if she was cheating, then you know that was your right. But I mean, like let's say you cheated, and then you guys divorced because you cheated. I would almost understand.
I ain't that type of cat. You know,
yeah.
I'm always been like,
I'm committed. Yeah.
If I'm married, I take that as sacred. You know, you went to the
Lord
and said, you know, that's your, you know, you bonded together with God. I tell you that's sacred to me. You know,
yeah.
Now,
no,
everybody don't feel
that
way these days,
like
but
that,
I do.
Know?
I don't play that game. But no, it was a lot of character flaws that she had, you know, that you know how sometimes you overlook a lot of stuff. And when you overlook too much. You know, character flaws like, huh? What'd you say?
I said, don't overlook those red flags.
Yeah, like lying. That's a big one. Don't ever overlook that. Like lying and just, you know, I'm going to say that lying is the biggest one. You catch them in a small lie, you better get rid of them. Because, you know, because they lie about something small, they're going to lie about something big. But it's all about a character. But, you know, and with his grades, you know, talking about education, his grades, it's been good. You know, he haven't, you know, had bad grades or stuff like that, considering the situation that he's in. But, you know, yeah, I'm concerned about that. I even go to the school when I hear something going on to go check on, you know, if he's getting his grades. Or sometimes I go stand outside the classroom, watch him, what he's doing. If they tell me he's doing wrong, I wait till he do something wrong, and I just walk in and bust him. You know, like he never know when I'm watching him. So that's why sometimes after I embarrass him maybe once or twice a year, then he quits doing what he's doing and get his book. Because I don't want him to be no dummy.
Right.
You get
legal advice. Or whatever, maybe the issue is these grades that these kids have to get, because what does it take to really get an A? You don't really have, and I know this from somebody, I plagiarized in college, especially in college, because I was taking 18 hours a semester, and I was working full-time, so I had too much work to get done in any given night. So to get an A, you really don't have to learn the material so much as you have to regurgitate whatever it is the teacher told you. So
yeah.
Is that an issue in these schools, and that the system is not really built for you to learn?
They don't care. They give what you call a cookie cutter education.
Right.
It's not tailor made for nobody. It just
right.
it
I
is.
Think instead of worrying about grades, they need to make sure children are comprehending what they're teaching.
Right.
You know, these kids should be taught something every week, and then on the next week they should be tested on what they retained, and then see what kids aren't picking up, and stop making stressing them out about A, B, C, and D. Now, you can grade them on effort, absolutely. Are you putting in the time and dedication to learn the material? Are you doing what you're supposed to do? Sure. But make sure they're retaining what you're teaching, because a lot of these kids aren't. I mean, and they're just not. They're not getting.
Because I know I would.
Well, it's impossible to do that when they put so much emphasis on the test. Because here in Louisiana, if they're not taking the LEAP, the pass, fail, they're taking the ILEAP. And the teachers put so much emphasis on these test scores that it creates anxiety in these kids. So it's like, how are they going to be able to learn anything when the teacher's sole focus is on being sure that they don't fail the test? Because their evaluation
isn't that how the teachers get graded on, like, how well the students test and things of that nature?
It is now.
I remember feeling like in high school, like, if I didn't get a certain GPA, I wouldn't be able to get into the right college, and then depending on what college I went to, I might be able to get a job better, or, you know what I mean? I just remember it being so much pressure to get a certain grade point average that a lot of the information, A, I don't use on a day-to-day basis, and B, I didn't retain.
Speaking of college, have you guys heard about, I noticed out here where I live, they're taking some high schools, like, not like alternative schools, but kind of like alternative schools, and they're making them almost tech schools where they're teaching kids in high school an actual trade. Because of the way our economy has changed and the job market has changed, the standard four-year college degree, which is always good, I mean, I don't knock it, is kind of becoming useless for a lot of jobs and very difficult to find jobs. So they're teaching children now in high school actual tech trades, like electrician or, you know, and I think that's great, honestly. I think
it's great. They actually know how to work. Instead of just being book smart.
Exactly. They actually know how to do something. I mean, honestly, math, I mean, some of the math we had to learn and stuff, I think back and I think, I'm never going to use that. I am never, ever going to use that, ever, in what I do. But if they start teaching kids something, you know, find out what they're interested in, you know, their junior, senior year or whatever, and start getting them introduced to what they want to do for the rest of their life, something, you know, whatever it may be. I don't know. I just think they need to start experimenting with a little bit of different, you know, techniques on how to get these kids productive, because we have a lazy generation. It's awful.
They need real world knowledge. Like, you know, when you go to work on that first day and you fill out those tax forms, like, nobody knows how to fill those out properly. Or when you need to invest, like, is a 401k better? Is an IRA better? Like, real-world information that's going to set you up for success. Not no doggone geometry. And I'm never going to go back. That's not the field I'm in. I don't know what field needs that. But it's very small amount of people that are going to need that kind of information. So
I hear y'all, nigga, but my wife is listening to this conversation. She wanted to add something to it real quick.
Well, good evening, everybody.
Hi.
Well, in regards to the tech schools, the school that my daughter is going to actually does that. They, like my husband had said earlier, they do have like a credit union, and what they do is starting at the sophomore year, they're able to work in the credit union and teach in business management and accounting. And then during the holidays, if the school's closed, they're able to work at other branches outside of the branch inside the school. And that'll help them with that. They also have a program where for those students that want to be teachers, they actually have 3 and 4-year-olds going, and we have high school students going and teaching them and learning how to be teachers to see if that's really the career they want to go into. And as part of the classes, they also have classes for electrician where they come out certified and are able to sustain a job. They have a whole different variety of opportunities in the school. But getting back to what I've been listening to, the whole conversation about schools and our children being safe, I'll be very honest, and I think that a lot of the reason why a lot of things are happening is not the teachers, it's not the school district, it's the parents. Nowadays, parents are more friends. They don't really want to discipline their children, and they don't want people to discipline their children. Even if your child is wrong and being rude and disrespectful, if you call them out on that, the parents are always quick to jump and defend their child. So at that point, they start losing respect for elders, and start losing respect for everybody. And these kids are growing up kind of, you know, thinking, well, if my parents think it's okay, well, then I'm going to go ahead and do it myself. And so teachers have lost that respect. Students have lost a lot of respect for the teachers. They've lost respect for administrators because they know that all they have to do is, you know, tell mom or tell dad, oh, they talk to me in this kind of sort of way. So then here come mom and dad, you know, forming a ruckus in the office.
Yeah.
And the administrators are afraid to do anything. I mean, if it was back the way it was when we were going to school, if you were rude, if you did something you weren't supposed to, you got swatted in the office. And you didn't see a lot of the problems that were going on right now with all this violence, with cyberbullying, and any of that. I remember when I was going to high school, there was this rule that if there was a fight, the security, the policeman would come with a camera. If you were caught on camera around kind of cheering on the fight, you were suspended. Because they would get all the teachers together and they would point out, oh, I know that student, I know this student, I know that student, and you were suspended. So when there was a fight, believe me, you'd see everybody running away from the fight because you didn't want to get suspended for something that, you know, you had nothing to do with. And why are you going to get involved? So I am for discipline. I mean, they need to bring back the swatting. They need to bring back, you know, where children have to stay in their place. And until
that
actually gets fixed, we're always going to have problems at the schools.
Yep. I agree. And parents need to stop taking everything their children say at face value. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If my child comes home and says, my teacher was mean to me, if I take just 15 minutes to talk to her about it and dig a little deeper than just going, oh, hell no, I know she didn't, you know, and running down to the school and getting on the teacher, if I just take 15, 20 minutes of digging deep into conversation about what really happened, Tamayo will tell on herself. She will tell.
Mm-hmm.
The truth will come out. You can.
What's her name? What is her name?
Tamayo. Tamayo.
Tamayo?
Tamayo,
With a T?
Oh, thank you. With a T, yeah. Tamayo.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's different. That's a real different name. I never heard that name before. Tamayo?
I had a sister, I had a sister named Tammy that died when she was 17, and I always wanted to name
sorry about
daughter
that.
After. No, it's okay. Uh-huh. I was pretty young, but I always loved the name Maya, so I kind of put them together and got a little creative without being too over the top. But,
that's a beautiful name.
Parents are horrible. I agree with your, is that your wife, you said?
Yeah, it's my wife.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear very well. But I agree. I think it all starts with parenting, period. I think it's there is such a lack of good parenting in this, especially in the United States. I don't know how it is in other countries. I don't live there.
So why is
other countries don't play that. Other countries don't play that. Them kids get out of line. They go upside their head.
Yeah.
The rumor, they get everything.
Lead by example. Show your children. Show your children what kindness looks like, what forgiveness looks like, what respect looks like. Show them that. I can't be out in the middle of the street cussing out my neighbor lady or getting into fights with girls in front of, you know what I mean? I can't be doing that and then expecting my daughter's going to learn to be a kind, sweet, gentle, respectful little girl. But what do you mean on a day-to-day basis?
You know, like these little girls, these little girls, you know, all this twerking and hoeing they doing. You know, a lot of that stuff they're learning from their mama because their mama got men in and out of the house like a revolving door. My thing is this. You date all the men you want. Just don't bring them home.
Yeah.
Why your kids got to see that? I mean, all man of kids to see is a woman that you're taking very, very serious, and you're going to do something with her. Like, for instance, with my situation, the only woman my kids ever seen me with is my wife and their mama. That's it. They ain't seen nobody else.
Amen to that.
Because I wouldn't dare bring no woman around my kids, because I need to find out is it even worth it to bring her around like that. You know, because my kids not going to be seeing me with this woman and that woman and that woman and this woman. They're going to say, what happened to her? Like, you know what I'm saying? But
did you watch that twerk video I sent you?
Oh, you talking that one? I didn't. I did, because I've been so busy here lately.
Oh,
I've been so
my
busy.
Gosh,
but
you have to watch it. It is the best video. You will love it. You have got to watch that.
Only one I seen when I was shown last night was the one about the girl twerking on the door, and the person opened the door and she fell and caught on fire. Now that was funny.
One favor. When you get done today, watch that video I posted on your page. That lady's name is Jay Tracy, and just watch it. It is the best video I have seen in a long time. And every young girl, every woman, every female, everybody should watch that video. She makes a lot of good valid points, and she's funny. Just watch it. I promise you. She's not really going to twerk. It's not really somebody twerking. She's making a point about what you look like when you do twerk.
I also think.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, let me see. I'm a put it right here to the side. That way I could.
You'll like it.
It has 2 million views.
It's a good video. It is. I'm telling you, every woman should watch that. Every woman with a child. Every woman who doesn't take that twerking stuff seriously needs to
twerk video.
They flagged that video. Like, for what?
Really? Why'd they flag it?
The flag, it has an age restriction. That means somebody flagged it. They say this video has been age restricted.
Oh, she doesn't even do anything. She doesn't even do
anything
inappropriate.
Oh, somebody just
hating. I mean,
that's somebody hating, because they'll do that mess on YouTube. They want to hate on you and want to flag your stuff.
Because she basically is telling women who go out and twerk, basically, you look like a hoe. Yeah, I mean, she says some fun. She's a comedian, too. I think she might be an actress. She's a personality. I don't think she's real famous or anything, but she is very funny. And it just... the video just was real cute. I thought it was presented really well, and it really she kept it real. I mean, you just have to watch it.
I'm gonna check it out after the show, because I got it in my tab. Give me a second. Let me see who this is. Let's see who this
video?
Is. Like, okay, I can't hear. You got the noise up. Hello. Yeah, you got a lot of noise in the background. I can't hear him. He got too much noise. Sir, you got to fix your noise while I let you back in. Anyway, I can't hear. Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Oh, my bad, brother. I was on mute. I didn't know you had me on. I apologize.
Yeah, I had. A lot of times I see the calls come in, brother. I just go down to just let them in. Usually they say unmute, and then they say muted. They'll tell you, like, if you're on or not. Yeah, so you've been on all this time, player.
Oh, well, I apologize, man. I was on the phone with my co-host. This Big Raw, brother, you might remember me from the Chad Factor, Chad Show.
Okay, what's going on, bro?
Oh, nothing, man. I found your show and, you know, been listening. I just been sitting up listening, y'all talking about this twerking epidemic out here and, you know, that's really about
it. What we talking about twerking in relation to education and how these females just want to twerk and not have no kind of education, and that's not what makes them wife material. Which I do need to really talk about that, go in about that really in the video, because these females don't get it. Like, ain't nobody going to want you. At the end of the day, you can be 30-some-odd years old and by yourself.
Nobody worth anything is going to want you, but that's the problem. Men glorify that shit these days. That's so glorified.
Oh, yeah. They really
it
do.
Is ridiculous.
Well, you know, before twerking, they used to do what you call peepop.
Yeah.
You know, so every generation has its own vulgar version of some sexual.
Yes,
manner.
Every generation has the same. But I'm sorry, dude. This situation, I'm sorry. These women today, I'm saying women and young girls, I've never seen them that much hopeless like they are today. I mean, they really hopeless.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a new paradise now. It really is.
I also wanted to add, it seems like it's a society thing, because even young boys. I've been seeing young boys twerking too.
We already know what they're doing. We already know.
Oh, they like other young boys. That's the problem. Oh my gosh.
Well, give me a second. We got 323 California, right? Illy area.
Yeah. Yeah.
You on the line? Yes, I still remember that area code. Oh, what's up, man?
Okay. So I'm calling back. Can you hear me now this time?
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Because last time I don't know what happened, but I think with the technology, it's accelerating everything at a pace that sometimes it's hard to deal with. Whereas you might have had people who were twerking back in the day. It's nothing new, but the fact is, it's broadcasted and televised and giving these girls fame. Where sometimes you probably would have not had that same type of voice had the internet and not all these other social media sites giving them that glory. You know what I mean? There's a shame attached to it, but which voice is projecting it more? Is it the shame or is it the attention that they never had in the first place? So, I mean, mm-hmm. the technology really does make it hard on the parenting, because look at the peer pressure, right? We can say, okay, well, don't worry about our parents in a certain way, but how much time are you actually being able to spend with your kids? When they're at school for a certain amount of time, you're both at work a lot of times, the mother and the father at work. So when they come mm-hmm. home, they want to relax. They want to entertain themselves as well as be parents. So it's kind of hard. And then when they go to sleep because they got to go to work the next day, kids are staying up, and they're doing whatever they want to do. So it's kind of hard to
get
into that.
I think if technology becomes a problem in your home, that's when the computer gets thrown out. That's when the table gets cut off. That's when your ass goes to bed when I go to bed, period. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just think it's parenting.
The internet,
I know,
the internet is a privilege, not a right.
But don't you think that they still need the internet? They still need the internet to compete in today's society, though, right? So you're going to say, like, okay, look, I'm taking the internet away from you. Okay. So now so-and-so has all these other people, they are able to do their reports and everything at home, and now your kid can only do it in the library or under your supervision?
No, you can tell them the only time you can get on a computer unless you're in front of me and you're doing homework, and after that you're off.
Exactly.
That's it. You do your homework, get off.
And if they go to school and try to get sneaky and put stuff on Facebook and do little sneaky shit, I'm going to the school, I'm going in front of the classroom, and I'm publicly making an announcement that my daughter is to be supervised by a teacher, or she is not allowed to have the internet. I'll embarrass.
You know what? Speaking of that, right, what you're talking about, public embarrassment. You see that new trend going on with parents?
Oh, Lord.
I love it. You know why I love
it? She got an ass whooping, too, though.
But no, see, I love the new public embarrassment because the law is trying to tell us we can't do nothing to our kids no more. Fine. We don't have to do that.
Exactly.
I think it's worse to embarrass them than it is to hit them, because I would rather get hit than get embarrassed like that online. I'm sorry, cause at least I know about it and it's over with. Not a whole world I got clowned.
And then you're going to get clowned more by the whole world. Your
friends,
your peers, Oh, my daughter.
I love every minute of it. I told the girls here at the house. I said, if you ever pull some stunt and me and your mama tired of it, I will put you up on my YouTube channel. I have no problem doing it. They hear me saying it too. I'll do it. I have no problem
doing
it.
You know what, though? Everybody's demons are amplified, man. You have congressmen who are sexting. And this is an activity where you think that, okay,
I know, right?
That they would not be doing
really?
Who do you trust? So who do you really trust at the end of the day? These principals, these
teachers?
I don't trust nobody but the Lord.
It's kind of hard.
Oh,
right. You might not trust them, nobody but the Lord, but you're sending them in these environments because you have to in this society in order for them to function.
But that's where it starts, and that's where people drop the ball, because they take God out of everything, and they take values and morals out of everything. If you aren't instilling values, and I understand, to a point, kids are going to do what kids are going to do when they get to a certain age, like adulthood. They're going to make mistakes and they're going to fall. Nobody's perfect. But if you could do everything in your power to instill values and morals in your children, no matter what they are faced with, if they have that in them, they will do the right thing. They will know what to do.
So is it nurture or nature?
It's true. And it's true what you're talking about. And it's the thing. I just want to bring something up. Have you noticed in this day and time, you know, people want to, you know, like, you could be gay all day. You know, you can be gay as all outside. But the thing is, if you say, you know what, I'm holding dear to my Christian values and principles and actually living that, you the enemy now. If you don't accept gay, you don't accept all that, something wrong with you. And I'm like, what has you know, society is about, I'm sorry what I'm about to say, and this is true. Every society that widely accepts that falls. Remember Rome?
Yeah.
You can find
There's an agenda anyway, though, but you know what I'm saying? Like, what I was trying to say is, what do you think about this nurture versus nature? You know what I mean? So you can nurture your child, you can give them everything that they need, but when they go into that environment of nature, they have to be able to function there too. You know what I mean? So if you're setting your kids, you teach them to be nice and generous, but then you actually are kind of sending them to the sharks and the wolves, and you expect for them to go ahead and carry on like that, and then they get targeted. So,
but really, your home is the teaching ground for your kids. Your home is the teaching ground for your kids anyway. It's a balance. I'm gonna teach you about the snakes and the devils of the world, but I'm gonna teach you how to conduct yourself as well. Actually, I want to prepare you more for them in that world than anything. I want you to be nice, but I want you to be stupid. Because they got people that will play you, use you, abuse you, and everything. That's why you better give the game to your kids all the way around so they can see it coming. But also, you need to present. Go ahead.
Do you think the lack of parenting is because parents are, like, scared to parent their kids because you don't want to end up going
in front of the
judge, you don't want to go to prison?
Yeah, that's part of it. Because think about it. The things kids get away with today, they would have never got away with when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s. Ain't no way. Ain't no way I would sit there and cuss at my mama in the middle of Walmart and not get hit in the face. Matter of fact, people would have looked at my mama like, you not going to hit him? Like that.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? But,
no, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think it's because I think there's more child abuse today than there ever has been.
It is. There's some heinous stories that people do to kids nowadays.
I think the problem is there is too many young girls having children that shouldn't be having children. There's too many people having children outside of wedlock, so you've already got a broken family. There's too many people having children who don't even know who the father is. And there's too many people having children.
And that's a major problem right there.
They don't want to have them.
Hold on a second. Who got some background noise? Laura, is that you driving?
No, I'm not driving.
Okay, somebody got some background noise. I don't know what it is.
Not me.
Hold on, let me check that. That might be me. Let me see.
All right.
Yeah, but
But Laura, it's a combination of a lot of things. It's poor parenting. It's a broken home and not having a father around. This is my thing. Okay, situations don't happen. You may not have your father around, whatever. But if you just get a decent man, he'll be in their child's life. They don't even pick a lot of times decent men. It's the thing. You have to be together to raise
if
your kids together.
If you can't find a decent man
but they don't know
in
how
a
to
relationship
a
with you, look. I can't find a decent man to be in a relationship. I'm looking for that. I have not found that yet. But you know what I do have? I have a wonderful father who is my daughter's father figure. You find you a decent man in any form. It doesn't have to be somebody you're sleeping with or somebody you want to marry or somebody you need to be romantically involved with. Find a father figure. Find any positive role, a friend, a grandfather, your grandfather, a pastor, something. There are men out there that are willing to play that role. You know, I just don't understand it. People don't. I don't know.
Hey, Laura, give me a second. Yeah, give me a second. Brother from L.A., that's you with that noise. I just figured it out.
Yeah, I turned something off. Is it still going on like that?
Yeah, I still kind of hear it.
No, it's off. It's off. Oh.
Okay. Well,
No, whatever. It's still. I don't know where you at. I don't know. You by the fan?
I turned that off.
You good. You're good enough now.
Okay, I'm good.
At first, you were really coming across here.
Yeah.
You know, at least bearable.
excuse me for that, though. But the whole situation, man, to tell you the truth, where do we go from here, right? You know, what are the solutions? Because,
I can give you plenty of solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Plenty of solutions.
People don't want to do them, though.
So like this. Yeah, there you go. There's a plenty of solution. Don't have kids until you find you somebody that is willing to make your wifey or the woman has a husband. Y'all, that, number one. Number two, y'all stick together and raise your kids together and be strong and love each other and show the right example in front of your kids. Show your daughters how to be respectful, like the woman, you know, being respectful, the man respecting the mom so she have a good idea what a man's supposed to do. You know, he'll be a hard working man, a decent man, so she won't go out there looking for thugs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's one way. You know, keep your kids grounded. This is what I believe. Keep your kids grounded in the Word. That's what I believe in because it works for me. And it hasn't steered me wrong. Now, some people don't, oh, I don't believe in Christianity. I can care less what you believe. I'm telling you what works good for me and what has did good for me in my life. And I know some people will come with, they love to say, well, you know, they like to say white Jesus type of stuff, or they like to tell me that. I say, well, if you do the research, you wouldn't be saying that. I said, so let's just go from there. And it's not even about color. It's about what he taught. And it worked. Okay? That's one, you know, definitely a few solutions that we could have. You know, right there. It's just simple. Get back to what we used to do, family values. What's wrong with that? Two-parent household. What's wrong with that? Priding ourselves on
education and not good red and sugar. What's wrong with being a good parent?
That's all part of it, being a good...
I mean, there are just a lot of people that they, you know, they look at their children as things, and they don't really take their role as parents seriously. They don't consider that to be just as important as going to work and doing a good job and bringing home a paycheck. It's like, you know, well, you're just there. I mean, there's no pride in being a good parent. And I mean, I see that a lot. I mean, you know, my daughter has unfortunately dealt with plenty of classmates who, you know, it's so obvious that they're not learning anything at home because she actually had a little boy call her a bitch because she didn't want to do his work for him.
Wow.
Call her that in class.
That sounds about right, these little disrespectful little young punks. I can't stand them. I can't stand them. I said one time, I said, you know what? If Obama started drafting for that military war in Syria, I wouldn't even feel bad because these kids need a wake-up call. They really do. They need to go put on some military uniforms. Let's go see how you're going to get some respect then from the drill sergeant. That's what
they
do. They
try to mouth off to the drill sergeant and be like, you ain't my daddy.
Or the drill sergeant will punch him in the face. Or that's the only thing. You go to war or you go to jail. Which one is he going
to
be? Hey, military jail is not like the state jail, from what I've heard.
Like you were saying, there's a lot of lack of morals, and a lot of children in this generation doesn't know what a two-family household looks like, doesn't know what a healthy family environment is. There's a lot of, like you were saying, statistics of children coming from a single parent household, and a lot of those mothers have some type of contempt for those children. They don't teach their children to do better because they never had the chance to do better, and even on a subconscious level they may feel some type of resentment. Even if I could teach you to do better, I probably won't, because if I never had that opportunity, then why should you have that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is the thing too. I noticed, like, in this day and time, it's like with the guys, the men don't control nothing when it comes to women. We really don't, you know, especially in the area of, you know, laying down with them. And at one point in time, you couldn't lay down with a woman unless you was in a relationship and you was going to do something with in this relationship. Now these women, I mean, it don't matter where you're at in the country, they don't care. They'll lay down with you, and they don't even think they're going to get married. Most of them, they don't. They just say, well, I can have some kids, but I'll never get married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, most of them think that way. You can tell by their actions. They're really ruining the game for decent women that do that. You know, because it's like, well, the decent women's not doing that. They actually want a decent guy, but they just ruining everything. Like, I really think women, I think women are killing it for all y'all. Like, y'all counterparts
are
killing it. That's
my
opinion.
No, they are.
I agree.
They're killing it.
I think it's just a change of mindset, because that type of mindset was like with the 60s, and then the 70s came in with the free love, and women started thinking that they can sleep around just like men can sleep around, and you can be just like a man. And with that type of mindset, it wasn't about being decent and wanting to get married and wanting to raise kids. It was just being like a man, earning your respect, and being able to do whatever you wanted to. So I think that type of mentality, and socially people accepting that type of mental ideology, it just kept on perpetuating. Now you see 50% of marriages are failing, children being raised in single.
I'm gonna tell you why 50% marriages are failing. If you do the research on the marriage statistics prior to feminism, they were very high, like around 72%. After feminism, the marriage rate kept declining every single year, every single decade. Because when men was responsible to go to work at that time period, and it was in a man's head, no matter what community he came from, you go to work and you provide for your family. And, you know, your wife, now you, like my grandmother, she worked and stuff, and my grandfather worked, but she still respects my grandfather as the head of the household. And they raised 7 kids together. No problem. Stay married all those years. But my grandmother, not one time, never heard her call him, you know, oh, you know, shut up, nigga, and all this other stuff, or cussing him out. Never heard us not one time do that. They get into it, but never disrespectful, because she all respected my grandfather. I mean, to this day, my grandmother still wear her wedding ring, and my grandfather been dead for years. I mean, that's kind of respect that our older people had. And today, shoot, you can't get a chick, man. That's why. Boy, I tell you. That's why I say I'm glad. Hold on, I got some other calls I need to get to real quick because I see him holding on the line. Caller from Skype, you on the line?
Yeah, I'm not calling from Skype, I don't think. You talking about 314?
No, I'm just showing 111. But anyway, you got anything you want to add, bro?
Yeah, you know, you made some, you know, the topic of your program on children safe in public schools.
Uh-huh.
But as far as I'm concerned, my children have never been, and I'm talking about my community, I'm African American, black person. Okay. I never considered our children safe in those schools, even 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, long before you started having violence and so forth. Look at the things that's taught there. Children in kindergarten got books that show a father and a daddy bear, a mother and a mommy bear today. And, you know, getting off the topic of getting off that particular issue on schools, you mentioned something about Obama. If you got your public leaders at an official capacity that's not living up to morals, and they're being very notorious in the things that they're doing, don't you think at some point in time that the children are going to look at that and say, well, why come must I show this responsibility? Or why come I must follow these rules and apparently they're not doing it?
Yeah, I mean, every day we're catching our leaders in trouble, like our leaders are trying to spy on us every day. But think about it. Two things that these politicians are doing. They want to spy on us, but they don't want to be spied on. And then, like, for instance, like, let's talk about the new health care initiative that's coming out with a.k.a. Obamacare. We could be subject to IRS penalties for not taking it or because we don't have insurance. I don't know if most people know that, but the lawmakers are exempt from that. Why are you exempt? So you can't get fined, but we can get fined? I mean, so there's a lot of things going on in Washington that they are doing. They're supposed to be our public servants or whatever, and it's filtering down even to the kids. It's no accountability. Nobody want to be told nothing. You get what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's from the top down what's going on in this country.
Well, absolutely. And look at this incident now with Syria, where you had a vast majority of the citizenry of the United States say, we don't want to be involved in no more skirmishes like this. I'm talking about 70, 80%. So, you know, and then they lie. I mean, that's
quite obvious. Well, they always lie. They lie all the time. That's why I want to do a video about Syria or whatever, but it's not going to be, I'm trying to make sure I get all my information just right before I start seeing anything, because the things I seen the other day that Glenn Beck has showed, what them people doing over there, and I put it on my website, just that little clip that Glenn Beck showed of that Syrian rebel cutting out the heart and liver of a military leader and eating his stuff, and how he's going to do that. And he's saying, these are the people you trying to go help America? Seriously? We got all these problems in America.
Regardless
people
of that,
need to work.
Look who's supplying the chemicals in order to make chemical weapons. Britain,
yeah, Russia,
United
Russia.
States, Israel. So that's what the problem is. And then the condition that the financial condition that this country is in, with the unemployment, student loans are completely out of sight, and all the other things, and they're talking about spending your money in some other thing. And Obama is hard-headed. Hell, even Bush got UN approval before
Obama better not do that, and I'm going to tell you why he better not do that. I don't know what Obama is smelling himself all of a sudden, But you certain things you got to do. And it's the thing. Vladimir Putin said, basically, he better not go over there and do it or it's going to be a problem. That's basically what he said in so many words. He said if they attack Syria without UN approval, it's going to be considered an act of aggression. So basically, he's telling him, you attack them, we're going to attack you back. And Obama,
yeah, well,
Obama
anyway.
Think he is. I don't know who you think he is, though. But,
and the thing
know,
they're not talking about is that some of these countries where they're having stressful talks with or threatening each other, they have nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons are weapons that have never been seen before. That can basically destroy parts of the world where it looks like Mars
Well, Vanessa, America got nuclear weapons out the wazoo. Don't think they ain't got them. They got plenty. So you think people should come
That's
over here and start
saying.
Attacking us? So we got them?
Yeah, but if you,
let
I know
tell
it's
you
like going to sound crazy, but I mean, that could lead to some type of nuclear warfare and destroy the whole world. I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
You've seen enough science fiction movies and video games that have the same storyline where eventually there's like a World War III and everybody starts launching nuclear weapons at each other and only a select few are saved. Like, some people get to go into these little vaults and are protected, everybody else is messed up. And then the world,
oh,
as
inevitable.
We know, is
going
to be gone. So we can't just keep playing around.
So, host, let me ask you this question.
Uh-huh.
If this is a major concern about chemical weapons, well, let me ask you what you think about this. Why don't the West offer to buy back all the chemical weapons that Syria have? Being that Britain sold them the ingredients, the fluoride and so forth, buy them back at the price that they pay for them, plus give them an extra 25, 30, maybe a 50%, and penalize the countries that sold them the stuff. Have them to deliver them on the Damascus border. Then the West can take them and do whatever they please. Then from that point on, if the leader of Syria uses chemical weapons, then he should be taken to The Hague and put on trial. The United States have no reason going into a country and call themselves police in that country. Buy the weapons back for $100 million. It's a lot cheaper. You want no lives to be lost, and so on and so on and so on. What do you think about that?
I think it's a good idea, but in another instance, I think we should just need to stay out of that country. Because I'm beyond with you. If I was a politician, the greatest national security threat, in my opinion, is not Syria. It's Mexico, and I'm gonna tell you why. You got people bodies being piled up every day in that nation. All that violence can be spilled over to America. My thing is this. You going over there and helping Syria because you feel so bad for them. What about the Mexicans? They right on our border. You're not going to go help them? I mean, that the drug dealers can do that stuff here in America. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't know if y'all seen this stuff. And when this stuff was happening in Mexico, the American government told the media stop showing it. And they did. But you can go look at all the images. These drug dealers are cutting people's heads off, chopping them up in pieces.
Yeah.
I mean, they're putting them in the middle of the street for everybody to see it. And America don't want to go help them. The Marines can go clean all that up. But they won't do it. Why? Ask yourself that question. Why? But you going over there to Syria and you want to go launch missiles?
Because there's no
money
in Mexico.
I'm going to hang up and continue to listen, but... you know, it's a good topic that you have. As far as the school's concerned, no, I have a little confidence. I had never seen anything promising come out of public schools. A few, but nowhere the overall that you should see. Black Americans need to have their own schools or have more control over their public schools than what they have. But here's the point. When you start taking federal money and state money, they want to tell you what to do with your children. I talk
That's
to you
why
guys
a lot of
later.
People say private school is better because they're not taking federal money. It's funded off of the people who's. That's why these children get a better education and they have better teachers because they have a screening process. You know, I talked to his brother. He got his children in private school and he said it was the best decision he ever made. He said he's getting a much better education than he got.
Oh, yeah, because I would not put my children in public school because I had went to private schools for the most of my life, but then we had moved and we didn't have the means for me to go to private school. And the public school that I went to, it's almost like it was a predominantly Black and Latino school, and there was only a handful of white children. And it seems like they were setting up the school so that the kids would just fail, like they wanted the kids to fail.
A dropout factory?
Yeah, basically. Because a lot of the kids had dropped out, and they had, like, this program where the students would – it's not like you get paid to have children – or not paid. What am I trying to say? But it's like they had this program where the kids – some of the students would be responsible for watching the children of the other students, and it was kind of like a child development program. So it was like they called it – like, they made it seem like it was like, okay, well, we're going to – help people that want to get into daycare or something. And so they had a special classroom downstairs where all the children of the students could go and be babysat, and, like, different students would come in between classes. So they would basically have free child care at school. So you drop your kids off in the basement, and then – or on the basement set, but, you know, the bottom floor, and then the students will come in and watch your kids for you. And so there was a young lady that I knew that was 18 – and she ended up dropping out, but she.
Well, Gabriella, you still there? Gabriella, you have a connection problem.
And all those children were being taken care of by. And so it's a school really paid the girls. Oh, man. Okay, so how much did you miss?
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah, Miss Gabriella, you going in and out. Are you going wired or are you going Wi Fi?
It's wired.
Wireless, yeah. You probably need to start connecting wired. If you
don't have wired,
you don't have an Ethernet cable to that router. Oh yeah, never mind. You never mind. I know why. Never mind. Okay. Anyway, yeah, I forgot. Never mind. Anyway, so this is the thing. I'm reading a comment. They said about the Syria. They was bringing that up. They said they want the resources over there in Syria. I believe that. I believe that 100%. Why that's what they want.
But I also think the reason why they don't go to Mexico is because drugs are coming from Mexico, and they do profit from that, and they don't want
to
go again.
That's my wife said the exact same thing. My wife said the exact same thing. They do profit from it. That's why they want to stop it, because they wanted to stop it, they could.
And they really could. Like, in mid-2000, early 2000, when a lot of Mexicans started coming across the border, they were going to build some type of fence. But after that whole hysteria, you don't hear about a fence being built anymore or this super wall.
The only person was, like, really pushing the issue was Rick Perry, and he was saying about putting, you know, the National Guard on the border. And, boy, I mean, they fought Rick Perry about that. Oh, he can't do that. And, you know, what's that chick name? Janet Napolitano, whatever her name is. That chick, he can't be doing that. That's not right. I'm like, wait a minute. He said we got to protect the drugs from coming into Texas. You know, you got the Minutemen down there with Border Patrol hands are tied. I said, my brother-in-law, you know, he is in Border Patrol. And, you know, he told me how much their hands is tied, what they can't do. They got guns, but they can't use them like talking about. Unless they clearly firing at them. Like, shoot, you want to take a chance at some drug dealer shooting you before you see, you know, it's crazy.
So why are Syria killing its people right now? I don't understand.
Well, I had something to add to that. We have the government stating that they're going to all these other countries to help poor innocent people, you know, because of what they're going through. And like my husband was saying, in Mexico, you have all these people that have no choice. They're being massacred and murdered just because they don't want to be associated with the drug dealing. So you have a lot of people coming from Guatemala, you know, trying to come up to Mexico. And on their trip, they kidnap them. And they say, either you help me, or I'm going to kill you. And they will literally, I mean, massacre 100 people at the same time, because these are poor people from poverty that are trying to come to better themselves but don't want to do it the wrong way. And they're getting killed for that. So why doesn't the government go and help them? Because these are, I mean, you're talking about innocent people. They have nobody to protect them. The government is very corrupt. Policemen are very corrupt. I mean, everybody over there that is in the high is very corrupt. And I was telling, you know, my husband that one of the things is if the president has lasted, it's because the president is in on it. I'm sorry. I'm going to put it out there. Because there have been presidents that have been elected in Mexico, and the moment that they are really trying to fight against drugs, they get assassinated right even before election.
So why isn't the U.S. government going? I mean, they're our neighbors. We do have resources in Mexico. I mean, they have all the petrochemical that we need. I mean, why aren't we going over there to help them? Why going to another country, you know, supposedly to help other people because they're innocent when we got our neighbors doing the exact same thing?
Well, you know, one of the reasons why they don't stop drugs, you know, in Mexico is because, you know, the country profits, governments profit off of drugs. Like
oh,
the CIA profited off of crack cocaine. One of the reasons you have such a large influx of people coming out of South America because the U.S. agriculture subsidized these giant corporate firms like ADM, Conagra, and so forth, whereas they can grow crops here so cheap that they can dump them down into the southern regions where those farmers there can't compete. They go out of business, so the workers come up here and they work on farms in the states. And these states where they're working on these farms, minimum wage do not cover that particular activity. So it's a design catastrophe that's going on.
Oh yeah, the government's only going to go help those countries where they feel that they're losing power over them. Not when they know that they got you in their back pocket. The U.S. is not going to go somewhere where they know that you're okay. You know, that they know that they got control of you. They're going to go into countries that they think they're losing control and want to gain control. Because they know they have control of Mexico. That's why they don't go into Mexico. Because that's where they get all their profit with all this drug dealing and everything. I mean, if the U.S. really wanted to really stop it, it would have already been done. But they're not going to do it, just like they're not going to legalize marijuana, because then they lose money on that if they do. Because if they legalize it, then you can go get it. Like if you go to Walmart, you can go get some things, you know, for cheap. And it's the same thing. They're going to lose all that money that the U.S. is actually living off. Because, I mean, you got all these drug dealers in Mexico and you got all these people making money off these drugs. They come here and they buy, you know, $250,000, $300,000 homes. They come here and they buy, you know, open up illegitimate businesses. So all that brings money to the economy. And that is the reason why the U.S. doesn't do anything about it, because the money's coming back into the U.S. And that's why they say, well, however they want to deal it over there, we don't care as long as the money's still coming in here. And that is one of the main reasons why they ain't going to go over there.
And somebody asked why the Syrian government is fighting rebels, which is just a band of thugs, Al-Qaeda and so on. Some of them was actually fighting the U.S. against the U.S. in Iraq. These rebels are being paid by some Saudi concerns, Qatar. U.S. is supplying them with weapons to have them overthrow a duly elected government in Syria.
That's right.
So that they can have control, so that they can have Western-owned companies like Genie. There's one company called Genie that's supposed to go into the Golan Heights and start exploring for oil. Murdoch is in on it. The Rothschilds is in on it. And, you know, it's just a continuation. It's over and over and over and over again. They use the United States military as the big bully. France, the UK, what I call the NATO posse.
But you also see with other countries like China, they may talk crap about those countries, but they would never invade because they're self-sufficient.
Well,
yeah,
America
know who to mess with and know not to. I guarantee they won't go mess with the Russia or the Chinese. I guarantee they won't tell them nothing. They know
there's good. Another reason is because many of these countries, like what they call the BRIC nation, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, they're working to get off the United States dollar as the currency of trade for the simple reason because it's a faulty money system. U.S. just prints money, prints money, prints money, prints money. So they don't want these countries to get off of it because when the U.S. prints money, they have to float bonds. In other words, they borrow that money from the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve is not owned by the United States. It's owned by powerful private concern.
Yeah, the elite in this country.
Right.
And, that's a lot of problem in this country as it is now. But I'm about to cut in, brother. We got a few seconds left on the show. I want to appreciate everybody for joining the show this week. And all the callers, everybody that's listening, you know, let me know, you know, what you think about the show in the comments, on the website, whatever. And we'll definitely see you next week. We'll chime up, you know, some topics. If you'd like to come on the show, you're definitely welcome to come on the show as well. Just hit me up. Bring you in. So we'll definitely see y'all next week. And y'all have a good day.
Thank you.